Hawker nears emergence from bankruptcy. Boeing and its engineers suspend labor talks. And Embraer flies the first U.S.-built Phenom 300. This is Aero News for Friday, December the 7th, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. Hawker Beechcraft said Wednesday that the disclosure statement filed in connection with the company's Joint Plan of Reorganization, or POR, has been approved by the U.S. Bankruptcy Court for the Southern District of New York. Court approval of the adequacy of the disclosure statement allows Hawker Beechcraft to begin soliciting approval of its POR from its creditors. The plan of reorganization is supported by the Official Committee of Unsecured Creditors and holders of a majority of the obligations under the company's pre-petition credit facility and senior unsecured bonds have also committed to support it. The voting process will be completed by January 22, 2013, and the company will seek approval from the court to exit bankruptcy at the confirmation hearing scheduled now for January 31, 2013. As part of its reorganization, the company intends to rename itself Beechcraft Corporation and implement a business plan that focuses on its turboprop, piston, special mission, and trainer attack aircraft, the company's leading products, and on its parts, maintenance, repairs, and refurbishment businesses, all of which are profitable and have high growth potential. Boeing and its engineering union have suspended talks on a new contract indefinitely, a move that has the approval of both sides of that dispute. At the request of federal mediators, talks will remain suspended until after the first of next year. According to a notice posted on the SPEEA website, Boeing, quote, rejected a number of key SPEEA proposals, even as it continues to withhold economic data necessary for productive progress in our negotiations. Among the most serious items brought up by Boeing corporate negotiators is the insistence the company maintain its ability to shield new employees from retention rating process. In practice, that ability allows Boeing to lay off more experienced mid-career employees ahead of less experienced and lower-paid engineers and technical employees, end quote. In October, SPEEA overwhelmingly rejected Boeing's first contract offer. Embraer Executive Jets, first made in the USA Phenom 300, was rolled out and made its first flight on Wednesday. The aircraft joined the production line in September, and the flight marked the anniversary of the maiden flight of the first Phenom 100 to be produced in the U.S. Delivery of the light Phenom 300 is scheduled to go to the Embraer Executive Jets Melbourne-based flight department, which will use it as a flight demonstrator aircraft. Iceland Air has announced a commitment to purchase 12 737 MAXs valued at more than $1.2 billion at list prices. The commitment by the Icelandic carrier includes 737 MAX 8s and 9s. Boeing says it looks forward to working with Iceland Air to finalize the details, at which time the order will be posted as a firm order to the Boeing Orders and Deliveries website. Meanwhile, Bombardier Aerospace announced today that Delta Airlines of Atlanta, Georgia, has placed a firm order for 40 CRJ-900 next-gen regional jets and has taken options on an additional 30 CRJ-900 next-gen aircraft. Based on the list price of the CRJ-900 next-gen aircraft, the firm order is valued at approximately $1.85 billion and could reach approximately $3.29 billion if the 30 options are converted to firm orders. The new CRJ-900 next-gen regional jets will be configured with 76 seats in a two-class cabin and will be operated by Delta Connection carriers to be determined by Delta Airlines. Without a national consensus on strategic goals and objectives for NASA, the agency cannot be expected to establish or work toward achieving long-term priorities. That from a new report from the National Research Council. In addition, there is a mismatch between the portfolio of programs and activities assigned to the agency and the budget allocated by Congress, and legislative restrictions inhibit NASA from more efficiently managing its personnel and infrastructure. The White House should take the lead in forging a new consensus on NASA's future in order to more closely align the agency's budget and objectives and remove restrictions impeding NASA's efficient operations. In layman's terms, it seems that what this new report says is simply that this nation needs a leader to once again set a clear and unmistakable goal for our human spaceflight program. the way John Kennedy did when he challenged us as a nation to land a man on the moon and return him safely to the Earth. When Aero News continues, want to go to the moon? Got a cool $750 million? Now appearing in the night sky over D.C., NORAD. And remembering the day of infamy, 71 years ago.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Aero News continues now for Friday, December the 7th. I'm Glenn Moyer. Former Apollo flight director and NASA Johnson Space Center director Gary Griffin and planetary scientist and former NASA science chief Dr. Alan Stern have unveiled the Golden Spike Company, the first company planning to offer routine exploration expeditions to the surface of the moon by the end of the decade. At a news conference held Thursday at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C., the executives described its team of leading aerospace engineers and world-class scientists, the mission architecture, and the business model. They estimate it will cost between $7 and $8 billion to return humans to the moon. The two seats available on each of their missions are expected to cost about $750 million each. One reason for the economic price is that the company plans to develop new systems only when and where existing hardware doesn't exist. And they say cost can be further lowered by the sales of associated media, advertising, merchandising, and spacecraft naming rights. The Golden Spike Company is a U.S.-based commercial space company incorporated in 2010. It's named after that ceremonial final spike that joined the rails of the first transcontinental railroad across the United States on May 10, 1869, and opened up the frontier to new opportunities. In its news release, Golden Spike said, quote, "It intends to break new ground and create an enduring link to the next frontier, providing regular and reliable expeditions to the moon at prices that are a fraction of any lunar program ever conceived of before," end quote. The North American Aerospace Defense Command and its geographical component, the Continental United States NORAD region, have been conducting an air defense exercise in the National Capital Region in the early morning hours this week. It concluded, though, about 0400 Eastern Standard Time on Thursday. The exercise was comprised of a series of training flights held in coordination with the FAA, the National Capital Region Coordination Center, the Joint Air Defense Operations Center, JADOC, the Civil Air Patrol, U.S. Coast Guard, and CONAR's Eastern and Western Air Defense Sectors. Exercise Falcon Virgo was designed to hone NORAD's intercept and identification operations, as well as to operationally test the NCR visual warning system and to certify newly assigned command and control personnel at JADOC. Participating in the exercise were Civil Air Patrol aircraft, Air Force F-16 fighters, and a U.S. Coast Guard MH-65 Dolphin helicopter. So if you've seen those aircraft in the skies over D.C., now you know what's been happening. NORAD regularly conducts such exercises all around the country. 71 years ago today, the skies over Pearl Harbor were blackened by a total of 353 Japanese airplanes, appearing in two waves over the island of Oahu and ushering the United States into World War II. When the attack was over, 2,402 Americans were dead and another 1,282 wounded. 188 U.S. aircraft were destroyed, while the Japanese losses were light. 29 aircraft and 5 midget submarines lost, 65 servicemen killed or wounded, 1 Japanese sailor was captured. On the next day, then-President Franklin D. Roosevelt would address a joint session in Congress and call the date, December the 7th, 1941, quote, "a date which will live in infamy," end quote. America and our allies answered the call, and world peace would eventually be restored. Out of that worldwide conflagration came some of the most iconic aircraft in history: the Japanese Zero, the German Messerschmitts, the British Hurricane and Spitfire, and, of course, the American-built Mustang and the B-17 Flying Fortress, to name only a few. As you go about your activities today, take a moment to reflect on that quiet Sunday morning 71 years ago when our world was changed forever. Finally today, as aviators, we all have people in our lives who inspired us to reach for the skies. My dad was one of those people in my life. Sadly, he never lived long enough to see me get this gig. Tomorrow, Saturday, December the 8th, would have been his 83rd birthday. I miss you, Dad. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared for departure.